Well, before Mass began, I greeted you with Happy Easter, which is a wonderful greeting, a joyful one. But let's work on that ancient traditional Christian greeting of Easter, which is, I would say, or the first person would say, Christ is risen, and the response is, truly, He is risen. I think that's such a beautiful response for us to know, and so let's give it a shot. Your line is, truly, He is risen. So here we go. Christ is risen.
Truly, He is risen.
Wow, okay, wait, one more time. Christ is risen.
Truly, He is risen.
Awesome. Yeah. How beautiful, and those are the words taken up by the disciples themselves at the end of that Easter day when they came running back from Emmaus to tell about how they'd seen the Lord and the breaking of the bread and the disciples in Jerusalem. Well, he is risen because He's appeared to Peter as well. And this great joy of these appearances of the Lord to share this resurrection news. In our gospel, though, we're at the very beginning of the day, the other end of the day, and it's the mystery of the empty tomb. You know, in that gospel, you have Mary of Magdala and Peter and John, and their encounter with simply the empty tomb, it can provoke misunderstanding. They've taken the Lord's body, grave robbers have been here. Maybe perplexity on the part of Simon Peter. Or maybe just like the beginnings of belief, a very fragile belief about all of this. Maybe that might be where we find ourselves at times, you know, and needing a strengthening of our faith. Now, it says the scriptures had foretold that Jesus would rise from the dead, but they didn't understand yet. And the disciples, they didn't just need more information or some kind of explanation. They needed an encounter. They needed to encounter the risen Lord. And indeed, that's what happens. Right after Peter and John go back, there's Mary of Magdala kind of weeping outside this empty tomb. That's all she knows at this point. And she has this encounter with the risen Lord, who opens her eyes to His presence by calling her by name, Mary. And then she beholds, there is Jesus risen and with her, having this incredible encounter and a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. And that's really what the church's faith is built on, these encounters with the risen Lord. In our first reading, we have St. Peter speaking to the Roman centurion, proclaiming the gospel to him. It's recorded in the Acts of the Apostles. And one thing to note in there, he says this, Peter, to the Roman centurion, "This man God raised on the third day and granted that he be visible, not to all the people, but to us, the witnesses chosen by God in advance, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead." And so why was it that the Lord appeared only to certain people, not to all the people, but to these chosen witnesses? Why was it that he did it that way? I believe, first of all, it's because he appeared to those who were ready to really respond to the good news of his resurrection, who had been prepared through following him, hearing all about the gospel, journeying with him, as it says, who ate and drank with him, who were maybe at that Last Supper, the ones who had received his word and his teaching. So then when the Lord kind of puts his capstone on that, his resurrection, it all makes sense. And yes, they needed grace to really understand the new situation, but they were open to it. Maybe unlike some others who like the Pharisees, where in one parable, Jesus even talked about there are some who, even if the dead would rise again, they would not believe, whose hearts were hardened. And so Jesus came to those whose hearts are ready for this incredible good news. And I believe he came also to the ones who are ready and who are open to this personal relationship with him. Because he was forming a community around him, and that community, the church, are those who know the risen Lord, the resurrected Lord, who know the resurrection. And so Jesus was drawing those to himself who could then be witnesses to that to all the world. And the Lord, he wasn't stingy with his appearances. Of course, you know, this Sunday you just have the empty tomb reading, but if you go into scriptures, there's many different appearances that our Lord made during these 40 days after his resurrection before he ascended to the Father. He wasn't stingy at all, and in St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians in chapter 15, he kind of recounts a number of these different appearances, and maybe hasn't occurred to you about how many there were. Let me give you St. Paul's words. So he tells the Corinthians, "For I handed on to you as of first importance what I also received, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, that he appeared to Cephas," that is Peter, "Cephas, then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 brothers at once, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. After that, he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, the Saint Paul, he appeared to me." So there are many of these appearances of our risen Lord drawing to himself these friends, these ones who know him and who could give witness to him. And that's really the genesis of the church, is that testimony that Christ is risen, you know. And so for us, it's so important, you know, to be open to and desirous of knowing the risen Lord and having that personal encounter with him. Maybe it's been more of an empty tomb experience, a beginning of faith, or just perplexity. But to really, really be open to how the risen Lord wants to be present and active in your life. And so why does the resurrection matter for you, matter for us? If I can just put it in such a kind of bald way, let me give you just a few reasons why. Well, the first is that in your baptism, you're connected to the Lord in a very profound way. There is this supernatural connection you have with the Lord, and you begin to participate in his death and then in his resurrection, as we heard in Colossians. Because he is raised, the head is raised, we, the body of Christ, can hope to be raised as well. We become sharers in what he has accomplished. He is the first fruits. But then he calls many brothers and sisters to himself to be children of the resurrection. And if then we are faithful to that baptismal life so graciously given to us, then by the power of his resurrection, our lives don't have to end simply in dust and ashes and oblivion. Have you ever thought about, just as there's the empty tomb of Jesus, one day your tomb will be empty. Your tomb will be empty by the power of Christ's resurrection. You know, let that sink in. And then with that kind of horizon to our existence that transcends death, then the second beautiful thing about the resurrection is it brings true freedom to this life as well. In the letter to the Hebrews, St. Paul writes how Jesus delivers all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong bondage. Afraid of death, people are bound by that. They live under its shadow. They live under the fear of this ultimate futility, and they're bound by it. But the resurrection breaks us free of that, breaks us free of this subjugation to death. The resurrection of Jesus is the good news that frees us from misconceiving that my life is ultimately bound by my frailty, by my failures, by my death. But no, there is something so much more from someone who loves you so much. So many times the Lord says, "Do not be afraid." So another reason why the resurrection is good news is because of the freedom it gives us now. And then I think a third beautiful reason why the resurrection matters is because Jesus is alive, we can really know him, our risen Lord. We can have this deep relationship with him. You know, Pope Benedict, he gives such a beautiful summary of this in this line that I share with you. He says, "Being Christian is not the result of an ethical choice or a lofty idea. It's not just about being a good person or having the right ideas, but It's about the encounter with an event, that is the resurrection, with a person, which gives life a new horizon and a decisive direction. Beyond the veil of death, through the barrier of human futility, and into the eternal life that our risen Lord has won for us. Let that sink in. Let that be that foundational reality for us. Be open to how Jesus, our risen Lord, is present and active in your life. Call him into your life. Beg him to have a deep experience of his loving presence. Let's just pray for that right now. Lord Jesus, we give you thanks that you have conquered death, and that now you have made the cross our salvation, and you have raised from the dead, and you are alive and you are present. And just as you are present to your disciples on that first Easter morning, in all those times, those beautiful moments of encounter, so you are present to us as well. Lord Jesus, risen Lord, please come into each of our lives powerfully. Help us to know the victory of your resurrection, the joy of your eternal life, and to share in it. We desperately need that. Do not let the shadows of fear, of death, of sin, of the world crowd out the joy that you give us in your resurrection. And instead, help us to live always in you. For you are our hope, our joy, and our peace. Come, Lord Jesus, come into our lives. Help us to know you and to turn our hearts over to you. Amen. Amen. Christ is risen.